Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Put blue dolls in your washing machine. Finest dolls you've ever seen. Bigger news now when you sing. P-U-Z does everything.
The new Does brings you The Guiding Light, created by Erna Phillips.
News today that The Guiding Light is being canceled after 72 years on the air. This has caused even soap opera cynics to take note, because chances are if you ever in your life watched a soap, it may well have been that one. Joining me now to talk about what this means is Chicago Tribune media critic Phil Rosenthal. We're taking the last few minutes of our show today for your eulogies for The Guiding Light. 212-433-WNYC. Come on, some of you were addicted to this show. At one point in your life, what was your favorite plot line? Who is your least favorite character? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. What made you cry on The Guiding Light once upon a time? 212-433-9692. Phil Rosenthal, hi.
Hi.
So, 72 years, I guess it started as a radio soap.
Yeah, it did. It was created by a woman named Erna Phillips, who's sort of credited as the mother of the daytime drama, and that this was one of the first dramas that was tailored specifically to women. And so she's credited with creating the genre, certainly a major figure in it. This show started in 1937. It was on NBC Radio. And it originated in Chicago for several years, then moved to Los Angeles, eventually settled in New York. But it was always about sort of a middle America town and the people in it.
And the term soap opera, I think we heard the genesis of that right there in that opening jingle, because it was a Does commercial sponsoring The Guiding Light. So they were literally selling soap.
Well, and it was produced by a part of Procter & Gamble. It's a holdover to a whole other era where sponsors had a strong hand in creating and shaping shows and using them as vehicles to move product.
I think we're moving back into that era with product placements and the like.
I think, you know, the more that the people need the money these days, they'll do pretty much anything that they think will do it.
And that's probably what
drove this off the air.
Because now, as I understand it, it's actually been car commercials keeping the soaps going for the most part. Do I have that right?
Car companies have been pretty aggressive, and you don't just see that in soap operas. You see that, I mean, there have been episodes of Desperate Housewives that have ground to a halt as characters sing the praises of the automobiles they're driving. Mm.
Andrea in Stony Brook, a long-time Guiding Light freak, right, Andrea?
Well, I wouldn't call myself a freak, but I've certainly followed the show, and it's great to be on your show. I love your show as well.
Thank you very much. It's the Brian Lehrer Show Guiding Light Nexus that really drives the media.
Absolutely. one of the things that I have been a Reva Shane Lewis Cooper Lewis fan forever, and she's had many deaths, and I have to say my least favorite was the whole Goshen storyline. But what they did with reformatting the show, I actually think is quite brilliant and has improved the performances of the actors, and I'm sorry to see that people haven't really glommed onto this new format, because I think it's actually the way, it's the future of television in general. So I'm sorry to see that after 72 years it has to go.
Andrea, thank you. Michael in the East Village, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good.
I didn't think the first-time call would be in for Guiding Light, but 28 years ago, I had just moved to New York out of college. I'm an actor, and my first gig was as an ambulance attendant, and the front door opened, and there I was. And this was before VCR, so I had everybody that I knew in the city watching that show, and I'm sorry to see it going.
All right, thank you. Phil, what Andrea was describing, the change in the format, was there some new innovative soap opera format here?
Yeah, they went to a new production style, and they thought maybe this would be the salvation for the show. They started seeing it around the end of February of last year. And what it was is they started to create permanent sets in a New York studio, but they shot about 20% of the show outdoors, exterior scenes in the town of Peapack, New Jersey. And they went to a digital production format, and it was sort of a last-ditch Hail Mary effort that gave it a much more realistic feel instead of the stylized look of, that we're used to seeing in daytime drama. The only problem is the viewership continued to drop off. In the last year, it's dropped off about 18% overall.
Really?
So and the key demo, it's dropped 25%.
What was the key demo?
Women 18 to 49.
Was it still shot to some degree in this area?
Yeah. No, this is where how it's been produced.
So it's there's a jobs issue here too.
Oh yeah.
Dan in Stanford, you're on WNYC. You're on hi Dan. Oh, Don in Stanford. Hi Don.
Yes, hi. I'm just calling because I'm a scenic artist. I worked on The Guiding Light on and off during several generations, probably over the last almost 20 years. And it's always been one of the best jobs in New York, an incredibly creative design crew. We did earthquakes. We did all kinds of crazy things. It was just a wonderful job, and it always had a wonderful, wonderful crew to work with.
What was the aesthetic of this soap opera that set it apart from other soap operas? Was there one?
No, I just think that the level of realism and the level of detail that you were able to really create wonderful illusion.
Don,
I wouldn't say that it was any particular aesthetic because they went all over the world. That was the fun of it. They traveled. They were in different environments, different situations, and often the drama was you'd feel the drama through the scenery.
Don, thank you very much. And Caroline on Long Island, you're on WNYC. Caroline.
Hi, yeah, I'm 60. I'm going to be 69 this year, and I've been listening to that since it was on the radio. This is going to be so hard for me, but I think the new format was great. It made it seem like it was really like happening to your own friends. I want to comment on a lot of good acting coming out of that went to Broadway, went to movies. So much stuff has come out of it, and they always treated controversial subjects that other people weren't touching.
Really, like what?
Well, right now they're dealing with I guess with a lesbian kind of thing, and a lesbian relationship, mm-hmm. and there've been diseases. I can't remember all of
right.
them.
But and lesbianism not as taboo today as it once was. But did that mark the guiding light, as far as you're concerned, Chicago Tribune media critic Phil Rosenthal?
Well, they weren't afraid to take on controversial subjects. They did. Daytime drama was often the head of primetime dramas in dealing with issues, and this show was out there front on things like cancer, teen pregnancy, sexual harassment, alcoholism. AIDS, even postpartum depression.
Ibbets in Bronxville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ibbets.
Hi there. I haven't watched in many, many years, but I initially watched because Jerry Verdorn, who played the long-suffering Ross Marler, was in his wife or in our childbirth class 25 years ago. And so, you know, in the early days of being a young mom, I became totally hooked. And the acting really was wonderful. Really, really terrific people. Anything to do with Ross and Reba and, you know, the Mindy and Philip. It was pathetic. I just was a complete goner. So
a guilty pleasure?
Yes, it was wonderful. And I haven't watched in many years, and I feel a slight pang of responsibility that I should have been more supportive.
There you go. All right, Ibbets, thank you very much. And I want to thank Chicago Tribune media critic Phil Rosenthal as we say goodbye to The Guiding Light. Thank you for your eulogies going off the air after 72 years.
You didn't tell Ted that you were going to meet me tonight, did you, Maida?
Of course not. You asked me not to. Bill, why is this out of the way, please? You've been here before, haven't you?
A few times.